Tom Tarvis. We're going to go back to our study, which we're going to be into for a few weeks, a few sermons, and we're going to preach it till we're done. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, until we're done. And it is the eternal security of the believer, 100 reasons and 100 scriptures proving eternal security. M.L. Moser Sr. wrote this back probably the 60s or 70s, and it's still good teaching today. Well, I'm getting ready to start preaching on the church, the history of the church. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're teaching things right now that people hate. People disagree with it, they hate it. And the reason they hate it is because it's truth. It's been truth for centuries, for millenniums. And it's still truth. It was truth when Jesus was here. It was truth before Jesus was here. And it's still truth today. And one reason the churches today are filled with such small numbers is because people have turned away from the truth.
Amen.
They no longer want to hear the doctrines of the Bible. They are here to hear things that make them happy. God never promised to make us happy.
Amen.
His word was not written to make us happy. His word was written to rebuke us, to chasten us, to reprove us, and to teach us how to be good children of God. The word of God is given to us in this time as well as all of history, and we ought to stand upon it regardless of what happens in this world. If the United States of America ever tells us we can't no longer teach it, we need to teach it louder.
Amen.
I'm not here to make friends on this earth. I'm not in this church to build it, to grow it. I'm here to pastor the church. I'm here to preach the truth. I got a member right now that's upset with me. I'm sorry they're upset with me. But sometimes that's what happens. I stand upon the truth regardless.
Amen.
I will die for the truth. I will go to my grave a Baptist, not a make-believe Baptist, but a Baptist, believing the truth of God's word. I will not recant, I will not surrender.
Amen.
To the world. This is one of those truths, eternal security. We looked this morning at the first part of the introduction to the 100 points, which has 5 points to it. 5 wonderful points that separates. Brother Moser Sr. did a beautiful job here at separating real Christians from counterfeit Christians, real churches from counterfeit churches. Both the Mosers, M.L. Jr. and M.L. Sr. both, knew about the church. They understood the church. They understood the doctrines of the church and the importance of these doctrines. So he started out this study, we learned this morning. He says, please understand this thought, that eternal security of the believer, the final perseverance of the saints, and the salvation by grace are but different expressions or different methods of expressing the very same doctrine. It don't matter if you believe in eternal security or the preservation of the saints or salvation by grace. You know, you can leave here and go to Walmart and go five different ways. You're still going to get to Walmart, aren't you? He's exactly right. People that do not believe, and this is going to upset people, but I don't care. People that do not believe in eternal security are not saved. Either you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all your sins or none of them. He started out his study, things not connected with this doctrine, to set up the doctrine. First, we learned this morning that our truth is that all church members are saved. They are not. There are people in churches today, real churches, landmark churches, Sovereign Grace Baptist churches, that are members and simply not saved. And they're not really members. They're just members by name. If people have not been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have not been properly baptized by a local New Testament church, they are not a Baptist church member. We don't take artificial immersions here. We don't let people just walk in and say, I've been baptized by a Baptist church over here. I don't know them. You know why the Anabaptists were actually called Anabaptists? Because they rebaptized. Anna means to rebaptize. Second, another untruth is that all who are engaged in the church are not saved. There were false apostles in the past and Jesus' day, and there are false apostles today. Deceitful workers. Gnosticism was one of the great warriors of the time that the church had to fight. In the New Testament times and today, he says, there are many religious workers still that are not saved. Therefore, they are not secured.
Amen.
If a person's not saved, they have no eternal life. They have damnation. The Lord pointed that out. We read the scriptures in John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, I think it was this morning, where if you believe, you are not condemned. If you do not believe, you are condemned already. What does people think it means when the Lord says, if you believe, you're not condemned? How is it that people can actually come up with a statement that you can be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost, and none of them's ever been lost again? If we could have been lost again, we've been lost immediately after we were saved.
Amen.
Who are they fooling? Who comes up with these things? That's easy. Satan comes up with them. They're not God's teachings. They take scriptures out of context. You don't know what it's like to take a scripture out of context? Go over there to the account of the fall with the snake, Satan, arguing with Eve. And listen to how he subtly uses the scripture or what God said out of context. Stuff's not new, folks. Been around for 6,000 years. Third, this gets to our third point. And I got a lot of scriptures to turn to, so get your turning hand ready. Or write them down. Or if you want, I'll give you a copy of it. The third untruth of five is the untruth that saints should not be tempted. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. How is it that people believe that saints of God are never tempted, never tried, when Jesus himself was tried? One of the things we heard yesterday from J. Vernon McGee, I love this point. I hadn't even really thought about it. I thought about it, but I hadn't thought about it the way he put it. And I hope I can remember how he put it, because the way he put it was brilliant. Somebody wrote in to him and asked him about the temptation and said two of his teachers over in Alabama was teaching him that Jesus could ascend. You know what J. Vernon McGee's answer was? He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There ain't no way Jesus could have sinned. He did not know sin. Sin was not about him. He was not Adam's blood. Again, he's the Son of God.
Amen.
When I tell people, I believe that when Jesus said on the cross, that Father, why hast thou forsaken me? That deity separating humanity. You know what their answer to that was? Well, that separation hadn't, he could have sinned. Stop it. Don't be stupid. Jesus couldn't sin. He's the eternal Son of God. Like McGee said yesterday, like I say, I don't agree with McGee on everything, but some things I love him for. He's an old country preacher from Pasadena. I just love him. He wasn't tempted, J. Vernon McGee said yesterday. He wasn't tempted to see if he would sin. He was tempted to show us that he was tempted and didn't sin. Think about that. Let that soak in for a second. He was tempted to prove to us he's the Son of God. Only the Son of God couldn't sin. In Matthew chapter 4, if you'll go with me there real quickly. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Not to see if he was the Son of God. Satan knew he was the Son of God, didn't he? Satan's not stupid. He knew who Jesus was. God set that all up. He ordained every inch of it. Jesus did everything in his life to prove who he was. And here are them Jews telling him, you know what? If you just come down on the cross, we'll believe who you are. After everything Jesus did to prove who he was. No, they wouldn't. So J. Vernon McGee said sometime, people believe that Jesus could have sinned, but he did not, because he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, if you have the ability to hear these words, Lord says, let him hear them. He is a lamb chosen of God before the foundation of the world, to take away the sins of mankind. Amen. We are tempted all the time. These Joel Osteens, these Oprah Winfrey, these people are not Christians. They are money grabbers. They could give, not care at all about God. They hate the truth of God. They're heathens. Lord says, if you have an ear, hear this, that Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you're going to sit there and tell me he might have sinned? I read the scripture at Wendell's funeral. If Christ be not risen, we're in vain.
Amen.
Everything we have depends on Jesus Christ. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Our only hope of eternal life, eternal security, is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Just because we're Christians don't mean we're not going to sin. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with feelings of our infirmities. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities. But was in all wise, all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Because he knew no sin.
Amen.
What do you think it means when he says he knew no sin? It wasn't about him. It wasn't part of him. Sin wasn't part of Adam and Eve. No, they sinned because they elected to sin. It wasn't their nature. They were created in a holy, upright state. They chose to sin. Eve took the temptation of Satan, and that caused Adam to take that same temptation. They were fools. They were fools. These two people, who one was created out of dust and ground, the other was created a rib out of the one that was created out of dust and ground, these two people visited with God all the time. If anybody on this earth should have believed God, it was those two, right? Don't tell me those two people weren't fools. But we are too. We are too. God tells us what not to do, and we do it sometimes, don't we? We do. All of us are guilty of it. Every one of us are guilty of it. I got to move on. So, I'm not going to go there. I have the scriptures. I'm not going to go there because I don't have a lot of time left. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, 20 and 21, it says that he knew no sin. That we might be made or born as the righteous of God in him. Our security is in Christ. If Christ not risen from the grave, we believe in vain.
Yeah.
We're all going to hell. We're going to die in our sins. If there's no Christ, there's no salvation.
Amen.
If there's no blood spilt on Calvary, there's no eternal forgiveness for your sins. None.
Amen.
2 Peter 2, verse 9. For the Lord knoweth how, 2 Peter 2, 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. What? What? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Brother Moses put that scripture in that. What beautiful, isn't that beautiful scripture? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And you know what else the Lord knows? How to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Amen. God does it all, folks. He loves us and saves us and gives us his Son as a Savior, cleanses our sins with his blood, and gives us eternal life, and he preserves the lost to be damned. People talk about, well, God just ain't right doing that. Who are you to judge God? And when is God ever going to be right or do what's right? God does what is righteous and holy and according to the righteous of the law. He's not here to do our right or wrong or what we think is just or unjust. God is right. He is just. He is righteousness. Amen. Jesus Christ, his Son, is the eternal Savior of all those who will believe in him and his blood. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Listen, listen. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Amen. But will with the temptations also make a way to escape, listen, that you may be able to bear it. Folks, you got Christians that have died, literally had their heads chopped off, literally had their selves tied to a wheel and rolled over rocks till they broke every bone in their body and died. You've got Christians that have been rolled and lard and thrown to the wild animals alive to be eaten. You've got Christians that's been put in steel cages and fire set on them and they burn alive. What are these bad Christians? Those are the best Christians in the history of this world. Lord promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He meant it. We have an eternal God, an eternal Savior with an eternal salvation. It don't matter. This world doesn't matter. Our life here, please understand this when I say it. Our life here don't matter. It's not about you bettering yourself in this world. It's about you serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And his Father and your Father if you're saved. People get upset. Just like my job. It's not to make you happy. It's not to pat you on the back. Tell you how wonderful you are. It's not about mowing your yard. It's not about buying your groceries and bringing them to you. If you need those things, call me. I'll do them. But that's not my job. My job is to feed you the truth.
Amen.
And the truth is, in this life you shall have tribulation. I will pray for you when they come. Ronnie and his family just suffered a big one. We as a church just suffered a big one. We're all still brokenhearted. But what do we believe? He's with the Lord. He's where we want to be. Why are we so sad? Why aren't we rejoicing? That's the reason I tell people, when I die, rejoice. This life is nothing but trials and tribulations. Fourth, another untruth is that the saints may not fall. We're going to fall, folks. We are sinners. Not from grace. Brother Mosier says it so perfectly. Listen to what he says here. Saints can and do fall many times. But they cannot so fall as to be eternally lost. Saints can fall is taught in many scriptures. We're sinners. Thank God He saved us by eternity. Thank God His salvation is from everlasting to everlasting. It is eternal. And starting next week, we're going to get into all of these. Wednesday night, we're going to get into all these points. And the first two we're going to talk about is eternity and everlasting. Micah 7, verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, listen, the Lord shall be a light unto me. What a blessing.
Amen.
Micah says, when I fall, I'm going to get back up. The Lord is my strength. He is my buckler. I may fall down. I may fall into sin. I may have my bad day. I may have a bad week, month, or year, or even a decade. But the Lord is going to pick me up and rise me back up to walk in His grace once again.
Amen.
Or take me home. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and rise up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. What's the Lord say? If a brother sins against you seven times, forgive him seven times. If he sins against you 70 times, forgive him 70 times. Because that's what we do, beloved. Don't get mad at a Christian, a church member, a dear friend in Christ, when they sin. Help them get up. That's our goal, isn't it? To save those that have fallen. Sometimes they just need some help. They don't need you hounding them, condemning them. They need your help.
Amen.
As Christians, we ought to help one another. As church members, we ought to help one another. Because we're all eventually going to fall. Don and I are starting to fall now, son. I got my hours so cut back, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. But we're going to do it because God said we will. God's going to pick us up and God's going to provide. I gotta really move on here. Brother Moser has so many scriptures. I'm going to give you some of these and then we'll read another one on this real quick. He's got down Psalms 37, 24 and 25, Psalms 118, 13 and 14, and we'll go to Psalms 145, verse 10 through 14. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. How many? All generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and riseth up all those that bow down. The truths of the Bible were delivered to us. My father-in-law told me many years ago, Randy, you'll never preach a message that hadn't been preached already. And he's probably right. Because all the truth has been handed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. They have suffered more than we will ever dream of suffering. We live in the most blessed time of Christianity.
Amen.
You don't have to fight to get to church. You don't have to worry about being arrested for being a church. You may be hated for being a Baptist. You may be hated for believing the truth. But that's always been, hasn't it? Man's always hated God and God's people, hasn't it? Last, before we get into our 100 scriptures with 100 points, another untruth is that the saints preserve themselves alone. Just as no believer can save himself, Brother Moser said, so no believer can keep himself. Our enabling is of God. The power, the keeping power, is not self but God. The same God that saved you by his grace through faith, not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift of God.
Amen.
Not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God who willed it. John 1. The same God that saved you will preserve you. Preservation of the saints, preservation of the saints is the filth, it's the pea of tulip.
Amen.
Psalms 37. I'm going to read here until I run out of time. Psalms 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen. Who do you trust for your eternal security? You trust Jesus Christ, don't you?
Amen.
Because God the Father told you that He is the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. He came to this world in time and He died on that cross. He was buried, rose again on the third day, that you might be justified. His blood was shed on that cross, that you might be cleansed and eternally cleansed. You will walk into the kingdom of God one day without any sin because of Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. Question is asked. Don't overlook this. Look closely at this scripture. It's two questions. But the second question is actually the answer to the first. What shall we say? In Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's going to hold us up, if God's going to pick us up, if God's going to preserve us, then who can charge us?
Amen.
Who can harm us? How can we fall? How is it that we have to keep ourselves? Can anybody keep themselves? See why, brother? Moser brought these five questions before as an introduction to this. The myths of people that call themselves Christians, the myths of people who call themselves Baptists, who are nothing but counterfeits, the myths of those that call themselves churches when they're nothing but counterfeits. Counterfeits teaching a false doctrine of the truth of God. What we believe is the truth of God, folks, it's not our truth. It's not our doctrine. It is not Baptist doctrine. It is Bible doctrine.
Amen.
And every confession of faith through history, back to Jesus' church, the first one in Jerusalem. Every confession of faith has always had these doctrines in them.
Amen.
We haven't changed. They have changed. They have itchy ears and they have walked away from the truth of God's word. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded that what? He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
Amen.
What are you committed to Him? The faith to be saved, trusting Him for eternity. Believing in Him that He is the Savior of mankind, and through Him you shall have eternal life. For our last scripture, 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That's it, folks. That's it right there. Nobody preserves themselves. People that believe in this trash that they believe in that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti the blood of Jesus, anti-eternal security. These people are nothing but a bunch of lost heretics. They're going to hell for their trouble. Nothing they do honors God, the church, the doctrine of the Bible, or Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. How can you honor our Savior when you say that his blood is not enough to save you from your sins alone? Next week, we will start with 100 reasons.